Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 242, the first three stanzas. Almighty God, thy lofty throne has justice for its cornerstone, and shining bright before thy face are truth and love and boundless grace. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 242. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, in the 7th chapter, the first 23 verses. Luke 7, verses 1 through 23. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 7. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our synagogue, and he hath built For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. They that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole, and that had been sick. And it came to pass the day after, and that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that we are ourselves offended in thee. And we will have nothing to do with thee, nor with that salvation which thou hast wrought, because thou dost descend too low for us. And we have chosen the throne, and we have no desire to descend from that throne. Oh, that thou may become too strong for us. We have heard it out of thy word in these moments. One word that thou didst speak unto him that was dead. And he did sit up, he did arise, he did awaken once again unto life. And this, O Lord, is that which we beseech thee for in this afternoon hour, when we are again gathered according to thy command, in thy house of prayer and under the means of grace. Oh, we beseech thee that thou would speak from heaven, and that thy voice may be heard in this afternoon in the midst of us. Young man, I say unto thee, arise, that there may be life that may begin for the first time, and that life that may be renewed also in the heart of thy own children. Oh, and thou wilt seek us out, and then our hearts shall be conquered. Otherwise, we will continue in that way that we have chosen, which is to our own destruction, a wide way. A broad way that leadeth to everlasting condemnation. O Lord, become too strong for us. Show thy power in the midst of us in this afternoon, and speak And wilt thou forgive all that is sinful in us and in our children? Wilt thou take us for thy own account by heart and by hand, and lead us into all thy truth, which is by nature nothing but foolishness unto us? But when thou wilt give us eyes to see it, and thou wilt also give a heart to submit under it, and then we shall one day acknowledge thee forever and forever. Oh, take thou reasons out of thyself when there are no reasons in us, because our sin arises up against us. Lord, look on young and old together, traveling just a little road, a short road, to a great and to a never-ending eternity, and with so much carelessness in our life. Oh, then we can have a form of religion, and we can have so much outward zeal, but it is a zeal that comes from our own hearts, and that shall pass away without profit. But when thou wilt make us a sinner before God, then it shall take a deep root in our hearts, and then it shall indeed grow, though it be by steps ever so small, and so indiscernible, and in a way that seems so backwards in the life of thy children. Oh, when there are so many questions and perplexities in their hearts, and when they cannot understand or agree with the way that thou dost lead, so that all the wretchedness and the rebellion of the heart is revealed from day to day, that they must experience and learn what it is that they have fallen in their father Adam. Oh, that thou may so instruct thy church more and more, and that they may come to the knowledge of themselves, and that they may despair of all hope and expectation from their own side. Oh, that thou may strip away every foundation, and that shall be in that great day of days as a sand that is washed away, in that great storm that is coming, that people may be founded upon a solid rock. Oh, that may give that steadfastness in thy truth, and that will never disappoint world without end. Oh, do teach and instruct us then in those ways, that will not be disappointing to us and to our children, and that we may not be standing on the outside of a closed door on that great day of days. Oh, it belongeth unto thee, God of the heavens and of the earth, but also that God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, that covenant God who did say unto thy servant, I am that I am, thou who never changes. Oh, that thou may give also a comfort with this in the heart of thy children, though they oft have sinned against thee, yet thy love and grace do abide. Oh, that they may be given to see something of the faithfulness of that covenant God, that they may receive again a little hope and expectation. Remember then thy church from day to day, that they may be given indeed instruction from above, and to lead them into all thy truth. Look upon all those that are afflicted. Be with all the handicapped, and all those that have needs and cares known unto thee. All the disappointments that must be experienced in the midst of this world. Oh, that thou may cause it that a man may go out of all the vanity of this world, and that he may see that everything is passing away, and that thy providences may lead a man to look for a treasure where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves break not through to steal. So look thou upon all those that have needs that are not known unto others, those that have needs of body, of the mind. Look upon those who are in the prisons. Oh, that thou may also give true repentance to those who are guilty, and give courage to those who are innocent. And wilt thou look upon us who belong in that prison too? For thou knowest all that lives in our hearts and comes forth from us from day to day. And when thou wilt judge us according to our iniquities, then we also would have our place there. Oh, that thou may again grant to us also true repentance. And wilt thou forgive all that is sinful? Do look upon our school. When our young people and children are not gathering there in these months, wilt thou supply for all those who yet labor for the good of our children? Remember us also in the monetary needs when there are insufficient funds to begin the building which was proposed, Lord, that thou may supply in the time that is to come, that there may be what is necessary for the instruction of our children. And wilt thou keep and watch over them also in these summer months, and keep from all danger, accident, evil, and sin. Look on our nation, Lord, turn us again. And wilt thou keep us from bringing upon ourselves the just judgments of the Lord, which we so deserve. But turn us again, Lord, that we may acknowledge thee as a nation and as a people. And wilt thou look on all those that are on the mission fields, and that to bring thy word to the length and the breadth of this world. Be with us too, once again in this afternoon hour. Lord, help us. For every time is a new time that we are called to go forward again. And when we would bring it in our own strength, then it will be to our own condemnation, for it will all testify against us. But Lord, come thou, bring thy word with power in our hearts together, in speaking and in listening, and be thou feelingly and believingly in the midst of us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 276, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. And thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. We make the second wedding announcement of Alex Albert Vinnie and Maria Stella Arnoldusen, who hope to be united in holy matrimony on Friday, July 30 at 1:30 p.m. Any lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by July the 20th. 276, 1, 2, and 4. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Who was it, congregation? It was, as we have read together, the Roman centurion. He had authority. He says, I am a man, I speak, and it is done. Such authority is given unto men from the Lord in this life, to kings, to presidents, to rulers, that they may make laws, that they may also enforce those laws upon their fellow creatures, and that all things in this world and may be done with decency and with order. And yet, this man, he says, I am also a man who is under authority. That means that he says, I have also those who are above me. I am also one who has to go when they say go, and who has to come when they say come. Or when, as those who are in authority, as fathers, as office bearers, as rulers in this world, when we would only realize and believe as much as this Roman centurion, and then we find in him a great measure of humility. But what did this man believe concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he believed that the Lord Jesus Christ had a great authority, that he could speak just as a king, and whatever that he would say, and that would be accomplished. Why? Because he saw the Lord Jesus sitting upon the throne and the kingdom in this world? No. Then he saw nothing of the sort. He did not see a man here below who was exalted above men in this world. It is just the opposite. No, he has seen a man who has come in great humility in the midst of his own people. But he was a man that may see behind or beyond or further than the veil of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he may see something of the power of his divinity. And that was a very, very great comfort for this man. Because it was a man that had great power in this world. But it is a man who at the present did feel much of his weakness. Oh, then there was something that he was not able to do. Though he was able to say to this man, go, and to another man, come, and everyone would obey him in this world, as still, and then he has experienced what it was to stand as one who was without power, who was without might, as one who was just helpless. But then he believed that there was one who was not helpless. He believed that there was one who had power to give what he now stood in need of. Do you stand helpless too? And do you stand helpless with a need? You say, it is not in my power. I cannot do it. I cannot convert myself. God has to do it. That is right. That is what that man felt. But do you also feel the need, as that man felt the need? Because when we will feel the need as this man felt the need, oh, then he saw something so precious in that Son of God, in the power that was in that Son. And though he felt himself so unworthy to go to him, and that he should come even unto him, yet he could not but send his servants, that they would beseech him, and that he also may experience something now of the power of that Son of God. Or is that now also our desire, our cry? Let us consider something of it in this afternoon. Lord's Day 48, question 123. Lord's Day 48, question 123. Which is the second petition? Answer, thy kingdom come. And that is, rule us so by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Preserve and increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all. So far, our Lord's Day, a petition to the King of the Church, thy kingdom come. First, rule us. Second, preserve us. Third, increase us. Last, perfect us. A petition to the King of the Church, thy kingdom come. First, rule us. Second, preserve us. Third, increase us. And fourth, perfect us. Thy kingdom come, that is, so rule us by thy word and spirit, and that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Do we also pray that, congregation? Thy kingdom come. Do we realize what we pray? As our fathers do explain it, rule us. Or do we say that always just out of form and custom and do not really understand what we are asking the Lord to do? Because we actually then pray something that we at the same time are fighting against. Here is a petition that we would ask the Lord to be our ruler. Do we want him to be our ruler? What has our first father done? Has he not rebelled against the rule of this King of Kings? Has he not desired to come from under the dominion of the Lord himself, with no more desire that he would submit himself, but that he would make his own decisions and that he would be a God unto himself? Was that not then our original rebellion in paradise? And now we may ask ourselves, every one of us, in that state wherein we have been born, if that has now become different. If day by day we do desire that the Lord would rule us, or whether there is not just the opposite, that we are in a state of rebellion against him. That the Lord, he says, that we ought to serve him and we want to serve the world. That the Lord says that we ought to keep his commandments and that we want to make our own laws, and we will make our own interpretation of his laws. That the Lord says to turn away from your evil ways, and we are given over to do all our iniquity with all of our excuses. Oh, it is easy enough when everything that goes according to all our desires, then we can say with all our form of religion, Lord, wilt thou be our ruler? But when it comes against our will, then we find that I want to be the ruler and I don't want the Lord to be the ruler at all. But I want to do what is right in my own eyes. Thy kingdom come. Do we truly ask the Lord, thy kingdom come? That is, so rule us by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Did the Lord ever show to us that rebellion that lies in our heart? And did the Lord ever make that rebellion that is living in our heart to be a burden unto us as we go over this world day by day? When we read the Psalms, and then we read the petition of David, and he says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Oh, that they were directed. Why? Because my ways are not directed to keep thy statutes. Then he is beseeching the Lord, Lord, make me to go in the way of thy commandments. How can that be? That David asked such a thing. Why does David not just go in the way of the commandments of the Lord? Need he ask the Lord for this? Oh, there are two men in David. There is one that desires to go in the commandments and in the statutes of the Lord. That is that new life. Do you also know that new life? There is another man in David. He still loves the world. There is nothing good in that man. And therefore, David, he finds within his heart, he finds within himself this warfare. And therefore, it is necessary that the Lord is instructing his church and that they may make this supplication to him, and thy kingdom come, that is, rule us. Bring us under thy rule. Lord, give us to submit to thee more and more. That is not something that is just accomplished in one day. That subduing of that old man and that renewing of that new man. No, that is something that is a whole lifetime's work of the Lord in the heart of his children. Because that throne that we have taken in our fall, in our rebellion, that is not a throne that we just easily abdicate, that we just easily give up, come down from. But a man must be taught, a man must be brought low, and a man must be kept low more and more. Thy kingdom come, that is, rule us so by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. That kingdom that is not temporal, that is a spiritual kingdom. It is a kingdom of grace. And it will one day become a kingdom of glory. The subjects of that kingdom, they are living subjects. A spiritual kingdom, the subjects of that kingdom, they have a spiritual life. And thus, a kingdom has always laws. It has a rule that people walk by. What is that rule? That rule is the word of God. by which the entire life of that church must be ruled, must be governed. And that there is, as we heard in that life of David, the desire of that new life. Oh, that my life may be governed more and more by this rule, that it is not only to gain the blessings of the people of the Lord. No, but it is that my life also may be renewed. And thus we have the difference between what is the desire of the hypocrite and the desire of God's true children. But how is that alone possible? That is alone possible by the indwelling of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. It is alone possible by a very, very powerful influence. Why? Because that old man is powerful. Because the old desires are powerful. Then it is necessary that those new desires, that they are supported, that they are fed by the Spirit of the Lord, and that they may come into the foreground more and more. What is it working? It is working a blessed submission, that we may submit more and more, a bowing and a coming under that holy word of God, not to drive, but a work which is drawing that people of the Lord to make them willing in the day of His power, so that in one day, Paul, as a rebel, he is made willing by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, that is now the prayer that Christ, He is teaching His own children to pray, that they may submit themselves more and more, oh, by the sweet influences of that Spirit of the Lord. Oh, that the hardness and that the coldness and the deadness and that the rebellion may be broken out of my heart, that my heart may be melted, that I may be given to bow more and more before the Lord. Oh, that the word of the Lord, that word may be mightily, that it may be powerfully applied in my heart, that all my opposition to the will of the Lord, to the rule of the Lord, that all that opposition might cease, that the Lord might be the King, that I may be made a willing, that I may be made a humble subject before Him. Oh, that I may come lower and lower before Him, that God alone may be honored and be glorified. Thy kingdom come. That is, so rule us by Thy word and Spirit, that we may submit ourselves more and more to Thee. But not only so, it also teaches us to pray for preservation. That is our second thought, preservation. That is also the work of a king. That is to watch over his subjects for their own good, that they may be preserved. Because when there is a kingdom, and then there are many things that are able to destroy that kingdom. Some of those things, they come from without, because there are many enemies and there are those that wish to have the throne and to destroy that people and to bring them under subjection. And so there are those enemies that are coming in from without, that kingdom that needs to be protected. But a kingdom that also needs to be preserved. That means that it is possible, what is that, children? To preserve. To preserve. Maybe your mother does that sometimes. She makes preserves. How does she do that? When she will preserve food, then she cooks it to a certain temperature and she seals it. Why? Why? Because there are things in that food. They're not from without, but they are from within. And there are things within that jar of food which have the power to corrupt that food so that it will be unedible. And so it is her desire to kill all of those things which are able to destroy it, and so she will preserve it. Now, when there is a kingdom, where are the threats to that kingdom? Are all of those threats coming from the outside? No, there are also many threats that are within that kingdom. Because sometimes even within a kingdom, there is inward strife. There is division. Sometimes then there are civil wars within that kingdom which bring it to destruction. And now our instructors speak of the same concerning that spiritual kingdom. Preserve and increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word. Thus, Satan will use both physical means and also spiritual means for the destruction of that kingdom. That is his one purpose. Who is now able to withstand all of the might of that prince of darkness? Or is he not a very powerful spirit when he is permitted by times to bruise the head of that church? Is there then a man in that church who has power against that great company that cometh against him? Thus we may see, when we may look upon that church from the beginning of the world even to this day, then we may see how that Satan, he has come to destroy that church. Think of how that church has been attacked by way of persecutions, and how that Satan, in a relentless rage, would have desired that he may slay every single one of that true people of the Lord. But if persecution has slain its thousands, and then deceit and false religion that has slain its 10,000s. Because how subtle is now that prince of darkness when he would come within that church itself, and when he will deceive from within that he may corrupt that church. Because it is his desire, if it were possible, we read in God's word, to deceive even the very elect. Thus, Satan, then he is doing a great work, not as a roaring lion, but especially as an angel of light. But the Lord, he is standing yet as a wall of fire about his people. Though they fall, they shall not utterly be destroyed. What did Micah say? He says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, because when I fall, the Lord shall lift me up. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord, he shall be a light unto me. Oh, then Satan, he may afflict Job. But what is Satan's desire? That is that he should curse God and die. And this the Lord will not permit. Oh, Satan may come to tempt a David, and he may succeed to make him fall. And yet, he cannot prevent that the Lord will say unto David that he has forgiven his sin. Or he may sift Peter as the wheat, but he cannot prevent a bitter weeping within Peter. And why not? He cannot prevent it because the church has a king.
And that king is mighty, and therefore that king, he has said to Peter even beforehand, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Oh, it is true. It is so true. It is a church that is struggling against a very mighty enemy. They wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And yet the strength of the Lord Jesus, oh, that will be made perfect in what? It will be made perfect in the weakness of that church. David, he says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. There is now the only hope and the only expectation for a church who is in themselves so helpless and so weak against every enemy that comes upon him. That is not only from the outside, but that is to preserve him. Oh, that corruption that is living within his heart would not destroy him in the end. That it would not have the preeminence. That it would not be overcoming him. That it may keep him out of that kingdom of God.
But what our instructors say in the third place that our petition is asking, that is, increase his church, thy kingdom come. That is also to give an increase in the number of that church of Zion. Or is that also our desire, our prayer, our concern in the last days, in the multitude of subjects, is the honor of the king? And Ezekiel, he says that the Lord, he will be inquired of, that he may do this for them. He says, I will increase them like a flock. Oh, grace. What does grace do? Grace makes a man so liberal. Grace makes it so that a man desires that everyone else in the whole world may also be converted. What did the Apostle Paul say? Oh, to that heathen man, he said, I would to God that even thou and all those that hear me this day were even such as I am, except for these bonds. Oh, do we desire that kingdom may come? And that is in opposition to that desire of that prince of darkness, who is seeking to diminish that church also in its numbers, and that church would apostatize, and that it would leave the ways of the Lord. We have heard it. Or he is making that people to labor harder and harder. Why? Oh, that they may be diminished, that they may faint under their affliction. And so he gave Job to labor. Why? Oh, that he would faint under his affliction. And when it is not prospering his way, and that those numbers, they are not decreasing, oh, then he is throwing all of those men, children into the river. So that we see that the devil, he is stopping at nothing in the life of his church, and also using men as instruments in this world to carry out all of his cruelty. But the very means that devil is using to decrease that church, the Lord is using to do what? To increase that church. Because it was under that affliction, and that Israel, they multiply. And it is under the persecutions that church that is scattered over the length and the breadth of that whole world. And it is under the tribulations in the heart and in the life of that true church of God that they are kept. that they are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, what would it be if the Lord did not afflict his people? What would they do with their prosperity? Oh, then they would also do as the worldling does. If the Lord did not keep that people down under affliction, then they would corrupt and turn everything upside down. It is especially in the times of persecution that the Lord has spread his church, and therefore there will be subjects in his kingdom that are going to come from the ends of this world. The Lord Jesus also walked among the Samaritans. And to that Samaritan woman, she had said that the Jews say that we are to worship in Jerusalem, and we say that we must worship in this mountain. And what did the Lord Jesus say to her? He says that the hour cometh and now is, when they shall neither in Jerusalem nor in this mountain worship the Father. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then we see that in the New Testament, that the churches, they are being spread also amongst all of the Gentile world in Asia Minor. And so they shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac in that kingdom of God, a diverse multitude, young and old, rich and poor, bond and free, rulers and subjects from every nation, from every tribe. His kingdom. And how about us? Let us sing first Psalter number 4, the first three stanzas. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven, to overthrow Messiah's reign. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 4. Thy kingdom come, that is, rule us so by thy word and spirit, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Preserve and increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all. Thus our last thought, perfect us. What does it now mean? When that kingdom may be perfected, that is, that thou shalt be all in all. That is now the perfection that the Lord is leading his children unto more and more, that he may be all in all. And yet it is a perfection that is never reached as long as that people are still in this world. The church, they don't only need to be increased in their numbers, but the church needs to increase in their knowledge. You say the knowledge of the Bible, oh, it ought to be, but especially in the knowledge of grace, of grace. What kind of a kingdom is it? It is a kingdom of grace. And what does it mean to increase? To increase means to grow. And therefore, the apostle, he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to grow. What a misconception that there is about this growth, especially in the days that you and I live in. Why? Because by nature we do not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And we know a natural growth, and we think to apply our natural growth unto a spiritual growth. And in a natural growth, children, what happens? You are growing. And as you grow and you become older, and you become bigger and bigger, and you become stronger and stronger. And so then we know what it means to grow. But now, to grow in the kingdom of grace, that is now going exactly the opposite as the way that you are growing as a child. Because by nature, I am all in all. But when that kingdom is perfected, then God will be all in all. And so we have the road of growing in grace. And what has to happen then in that growth? That means that I must become less and less and nothing, in order that God, he may become more and more and everything. That is now the meaning of grace. And if the Lord is leading us in that way of grace, and if we are part of that kingdom of grace, that means that the Lord is going to instruct us more and more what that word means. And there was a man that we read about, a centurion who understood very little of the Bible. But he understood what that word grace meant. And what did he say? He said, I am not worthy. Yet, Lord, speak. That is grace. I am not worthy, and yet, Lord, wilt thou speak. There was a thief. He understood what that word meant, grace. We indeed justly, yet, O Lord, remember me. That is grace. Because grace looks to those who are unworthy. And when I am all in all, then I am not unworthy. Then I am the worthy one. And therefore, I must be brought more and more, as our fathers say, into this place, the place of that centurion. Oh, to be brought more and more to that place of Mephibosheth. What do we read of that man? That he was lame on both his feet. Oh, then we need to be carried. Then God must become all in all. Paul, the Apostle Paul, what did he say? He spoke of sinners. He says, of whom I am the chief. And so he became less and less. Oh, from that place where he was all in all, with all his religion, to become less and less and nothing, that he needed only to be forgiven. Oh, that does the Lord give us also that place where we may come to know from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Then we become less and less in order that he may become more and more. And what is now the perfection of this? The perfection, what is the end of this? That is, that we may be so completely swallowed up in him that we would be absolutely nothing and that he would be everything. Then he is highly exalted by a people who are so deeply abased. Oh, what shall that day be when he shall appear again on the clouds of heaven and when he shall come in his glory, that true church here below that is becoming less and less, that true church here below is so often fearing that day. Why? Because it is as the Lord Jesus says, O ye of little faith. But they are going to be made by the Lord so glad in that day. Why? Because that warfare, all that awful warfare that is going to cease, and that new man, he is going to receive all the desire of his heart. And that old man is going to be left behind. And that church militant that is going to become a church triumphant. Old and Satan, who has so much place in the life and in the heart of the people. Old and he is going to be done away. When he is cast into that eternal pit. And when he will be chained forever and forever. Old and the victory that is going to be received in the life of that people, so that there will be no affliction that is able to touch that people anymore. And they are going to come into that blessed and full communion with him whom their heart has begun to love in that day when the Lord stopped them in their life and when the Lord planted in their heart that love for God. And when that desire that has begun to grow
and they have begun in their life to decrease more and more. And then that desire and that love for him, and that can only increase. And then they are going to receive that full communion and all the hiding of his face that is now going to cease, where he is looking only through the lattice, that they can only see such a little part of him, and their heart that may so feed on all of that mediatorial labor of that blessed Son of God, so that they may experience just a little bit of that peace and that rest that belongeth unto that true people of the Lord, all when he is coming again on those clouds of heaven to take his church unto himself and to perfect that kingdom. Then that true people of the Lord, though there are so many fears, they are going to receive the desire of their heart. All then they are going to sing in perfection that song, great. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, O King of the saints. All then they are going to sing to perfection that song of Moses and the Lamb, congregation, are we? Are we also going to sing that song with that people when the kingdom of grace is turning into, in that last time, the kingdom of glory that will be the last administration, manifestation of his kingdom? And then if we are going to sing that song there, then it will be that we have begun to sing that song here already. And if we have never begun to sing it here, oh, then we are going to weep and we are going to wail with the gnashing of our teeth. That is a song that is sung by the citizens of that kingdom alone. And there is no man, there is no man but that 144,000 that is able now to learn that song. It is a song that is foolishness, because he is a stumbling block to the Jews and he is foolishness unto the Greeks. Why? Because man, he has become all in all. And he does not want to become less and less and nothing. And that is now what is standing in our way. That is what is standing in your way. That is what is standing in my way by nature. Oh, did you ever learn the smallest part of that song? Mephibosheth, he began to sing it. What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Oh, David, he began to sing it. Oh, thou hast brought me up out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Oh, do we know the smallest part? We do not know the smallest part if we have never been brought down in our life. Oh, is there growth? Is there growth? How is that growth? Is there growth with all our religion? If our growth is with all our religion, then we will still increase more and more till we are all and all and everything, and then to be cast away in that great day of days. But congregation, if that growth, all that growth may go in the way of that entire church of God of all ages, then we shall learn the beginnings of that song here below. All do we also pray, thy kingdom come. Who is our king? Who is our king? Rebellion is in our heart. Did you ever learn it? Did the Lord ever instruct you and show to you what rebellion against God is living in your heart?
Did it ever become a burden? Did you ever desire that that rebellion would be taken away? That that rebellion would be broken and that you may be given to submit yourself unto His easy yoke, His easy yoke and His light burden? Oh, if we never knew it, ask for it. Ask for it. He is a great King. And He is far away, children, far away. Because He is in the third heavens. That is His dwelling place. And yet He is so near. Not far, the apostle says, from any one of us. And He has such great power. Such great power. Oh, the centurion believed it. Do you believe it too? You have no power. Say, Lord, the blessed people, I'm on the outside. Can I come on the inside? Because I am dead. Lord, one word, one word. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And when the Lord would but speak one word, is Satan powerful? Oh, he is a powerful prince. Do you feel it? Strong man armed keeps his palace in you too. Is the world powerful? Oh, Satan is powerful. And yet, he is not the king. He is not the king. No, there is one that is stronger than he. You don't have it. I don't have it. That strength that lies in him. Go there. Go there for that strength. Because he is able to speak one word and to bind that strong man and to cast him out. And then, oh then we shall begin on that journey. Then we shall enter through that straight gate and we shall walk upon that narrow way wherein we shall begin to become less and less and nothing, that he may become more and more and everything, yea, all in all. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a way so contrary to every one of us. Men, he cannot understand it rightly. But when thou wilt come, and when thou wilt work, then man also will not be able to understand it rightly. Lord, remember us, young and old together. Cast out that strong man armed. O thy kingdom come in our midst and hearts also. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Be with us further in this day, that we may keep thy Sabbath day holy. And wilt thou bring us safely to our places? Be with each one of us in the week that is to come, each one in the labors of our hands. Remember us also as a family, and when we hope to try to receive a little rest from all of our labors, care for this our flock in our absence, and bring us to see one another again at thy appointed time. Do forgive, take away all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. 266 stanzas 1 and 3. God is King forever. Let the nations tremble, throned above the cherubim and by all the earth adored. And what follows in the first and third stanzas of Psalter 266. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.